Welcome to Portal to Ascension Radio. We are a consciousness-raising organization designed to uplift and empower humanity and pave the way so we may usher in a new reality of unity and harmony for all inhabitants on Earth. Our mission is to awaken, inform, educate, and inspire remembrance through exploring deeply esoteric topics, the true and forgotten history of our planet, and our connection to the cosmos. For paradigm-shifting awareness, tune into our YouTube channel at Portal to Ascension. On Portal to Ascension Radio, we feature speaker interviews and presentations featured on our website. Sign up at portaltoascension.org for access to hundreds of hours of our next dimensional content. Now, let's get into today's discussion.
All right, everybody. How are you all doing? Quick check-in here. Take a deep breath in, and we're going to go into our next presenter in just a moment. I just want to share one more thing about the moon, something that came up for me as Laura was speaking. You know, there are not only all these anomalies about the moon, and it's really interesting. We actually did, I don't know if any of you were a part of it, but we did the Moon, Mars, and Inner Earth Anomalies Conference 2 months ago. If you were not a part of it, send me an email. I'll give it to you for free. Moon, Mars, and Inner Earth Anomalies one. That one was mind-blowing because I think it would be a good kind of continuation onto this event for you to get that information. And there's just so many. If you guys haven't heard about the anomalies about the moon, I'm not going to get into it right now. There's just so much about it. And I love what Laura was sharing, how it's about to making the artificial organic and seeing that component to it. But I'll give you one example. Like, not only, you know, plus all the anomalies, but the moon's tidal lock with Earth creates the perfect balance for the right amount of evaporation to occur from our oceans to then put to then rain into our rivers and lakes to then go back into the ocean. So the cycle of water being evaporated from the oceans, going into the clouds, going back into rivers and lakes and back is perfectly balanced based on the moon's tidal lock with us, right? So just that in itself is a beautiful thing. Plus, not only that, the moon creates a tidal lock. Without the moon, we would not have the waves like we have waves crashing on the shore right now. It wouldn't work the same way. So what happens is when, because of the moon and where it's positioned and our axis that is holding us in, when the waves crash on the shore, oxygen is released from the ocean. And over 70% of the oxygen we breathe actually comes from the ocean, but it comes from the crashing of waves onto the shore. Isn't that very interesting? So I just thought I'd throw that in there since we're talking about Saturn, but you can't really have a full conversation about Saturn unless you get deeper into the moon. So that was just a quick little side note there. All right, everybody. So now we're getting into our last presenter for the day. Unfortunately, Omar, he couldn't make it, so we're skipping through Omar. But we have Michael Feely, who I'm happy to see coming on because we haven't had him on Portal to Ascension for a few years. Michael Feely is a former UK police officer and now ancient codebreaker who has authored 7 paperback books and several ebooks on various esoteric subjects and is also a public speaker at conferences. Michael is a multiple paranormal experiencer and has personally witnessed dimensional portals, UFO sightings day and night, received telepathic invites to attend certain locations, and has seen spirits of British royalty, such as King Charles I, and has seen ET beings face-to-face amongst many other encounters. He now uses his 17 years of evidence, gathering knowledge, and investigating training to break many ancient codes that have previously remained a mystery through the world. The face of history can now be changed, as Michael demonstrates to you, a ciphered code left for us to find within the famous monuments of the ancient world. What you have been previously told can now be rewritten. And this is going to be a very interesting and awe-inspiring presentation. Let's bring Michael on. Michael, good to see you, brother. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Good day. You okay?
Doing good, man. Nice to see
you. Yes, I can. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Yes.
I think there's a little bit of a delay, but yeah, welcome, brother.
Yeah, no. Very good. Nice to be here.
So we're excited for what you're going to share. Are you doing a screen share today?
Oh, that's okay. There usually is. Let me just switch that off. Say again, sorry.
Said, are you doing a screen share today? Do you have a PowerPoint?
Oh, no. Traditionally, when I use StreamYard and try and do a PowerPoint, there's always seemingly been an issue. So what I'm going to do today is I've got some information that I put onto several whiteboards, and I'll be demonstrating the content rather than have issues that I've had in the past. So I didn't want to do that today.
Okay, sounds good, brother. So since there's a delay, I'm just going to jump off, and then you can take it away.
So whenever you're ready, I'll simply read out a pre-written statement that I wrote specifically for this talk, and then I'll get on with the actual demonstration. So some of the things that I will say will be different to what you've heard so far, and may well be different to what you are going to hear after this. Some of it will be the same thing, but expressed in a different way. So from my point of view, the Elohim are not biblical gods. Saturn is not necessarily a negative thing. If humanity wishes to progress and evolve, it needs to move away from old codes, old beliefs, and old explanations that are thwarting our development. It is keeping us in a perpetual loop. When old explanations no longer satisfy the audience, then that indicates that you are ready for a new truth. Biblical characters are not real. Jesus Christ is an instruction, not a name. The likes of Moses means initiate. Biblical stories are not historical fact. They are metaphors. Metaphors for your own inner journey to remembering, also known as enlightenment. And to think otherwise is to be error. The Bible is a manuscript for initiates, those seeking mystic teachings, or those who have been chosen to enter into such wisdoms. And to understand it, you must read it, or more to the point, you must feel it. There is no such thing as an ancient world. Instead, it is a parallel existence that is still active, which I'm able to tune into and move in and out of. I will explain shortly what the Elohim are, and I will explain that Saturn is not what you've been told. I will be speaking about it in a way that very few do, which is as a positive, and how it connects to the Elohim, to Stonehenge, and to other things. Just a little bit about me. I was once a police officer in the UK. I signed up for 30 years, but at year 17, I was rudely awakened by the deep and mysterious, paranormal, and the supernatural. My life had been planned out by me, but others had other plans. So, a little bit about me. I am an initiate of Leonardo da Vinci, and I am his past and present personal scribe. He took me under his wing then, and he does so now, and therefore I have access to information that cannot be known by anybody else. I will, of course, reveal a lot of the true meanings of the likes of his paintings in other lectures. But the last person that Leonardo da Vinci actually worked with on Earth was Nikola Tesla. The subject of Elohim Saturn is where I will concentrate on tonight, even though it could take me in many tangents. As I was just saying, because I have issues with StreamYard and a PowerPoint, I'm just going to demonstrate a few things with several whiteboards. Hopefully you can see what's on them, but if not, don't be too concerned, because I will speak what's on the boards. So what I will begin with is the number four. Now, within the number four, you have the triangle, which is number three, and it is the Trinity. Trinity, which is the triadic nature of time. So it then gives us the numbers 4, 3, and 7. 4, 3, and 7 relates to the oak tree. Now, the oak tree and the seed and the acorn will be the central basis, the central focal point for my actual presentation as I take you into deep mysteries. Now, alchemists, when they see crystallized lead, they notice that a tree develops in the lead, and they call this Saturn's tree. So again, this fits in perfectly with the tree. Many people say that Saturn relates to time. It is Kronos. But there's very few explanations as to why Saturn relates to time. So let me tell you what I did was mathematics. I took the 360 of the sphere, and I took the 360 of the rings of Saturn. So that gave me 720. Now, bear in mind that Saturn is the sixth planet, and it has a hexagram on its north pole. That gave me 12. 720 times 12 gives you 8,640. Now, when you raise that by factor 10, you get 86,400, which is not only the size of the sun, but it is also the amount of seconds in 24 hours. So this is why Saturn relates to time. There's also another mathematics that relates to the 720, which is the centered octagram. The centered octagram is 720 hertz. Now, if you reduce that to 360 hertz, that becomes the lower octave. The circle, the circle, which gives the word hertz, is the lower octave. But if you double that, it becomes the 720. And if you double that again, it becomes the upper octave of consciousness, which is 1,440. Now, I've noted that in all ancient things, there is a 144 code, whether that is the Sphinx of Egypt, the Great Pyramid, the Giza Plateau, John the Baptist's birthday. All of these things relate to 144. It also relates to the 144,000 biblical chosen. Now, 144 has a harmonic of 144. So when we look at the octagram, the number 8, Saturn rules the number 8. Now, when we get the number 8 and we put it on its side, we get what we are told is the infinity sign. But not the infinity sign. It is really a symbol of the masters of the cycle of time. And here we have Saturn, which is time. So we spoke briefly just before I came on about the moon. What we used to be the moon, not moon, I've actually located the true moon, Earth's satellite. But again, I'll deal with that in another presentation. But when we get what we believe to be the moon, this is known as the alpha, because it is considered the closest body to Earth. So we have the moon, which is alpha. Saturn was to believe to be the extremity of the physical universe, as far as we could physically. So it became the alpha. So we have the moon, which is alpha, and we have Saturn, which is omega. Now, omega gives us the word om, which in Hebrew is Ein Men. In other words, the water fountain, which again, this will become clear very, very soon. So the Elohim, I'm now going to connect the Elohim to Christianity, to Islam, to Druidism, and to the Knights Templar. In just one word, Elohim connects all of those things. So the word Elohim comes from the word Ella, which also gives us the word Allah. And Elohim, Allah, Allah, means oak or oak tree. Now the word oak means hag, which is goat. We then bring Capricorn into the mix. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. We also bring Baphomet into the mix, which is a Knight's Templar symbol, which I'll get to in a moment. Druid, the word Druid means oak knowledge or the knower of oak trees. So we've connected all of those things by just one word. So Capricorn further means working, but I'll just, there you go. So Capricorn then means corn of the goat. So Capri is goat and corn is obviously corn, so corn of the goat. Now, in mystic circles, when you whisper secrets, it is known as the ear of corn. That's why we wear earrings, because Saturn relates to learning by earring, and it rules Capricorn. Now, the goat, if you join Freemasonry, it is called riding the goat. They have an expression which is called separating the goat from the sheep. In other words, do you just follow, or do you take your own path? Do you take the arduous trip up the mountain to become initiated into the secret mysteries? So this is the goat climbing the mountain to become an initiate. So going back to Ayin Mem and the water fountain and how it connects to the Elohim. So the Elohim then is the water of the leaf. The leaf represents the human mind, and the water represents divine knowledge, which is pouring down from the heavens. So the Elohim are actually the knowledge keepers on earth, the walking gods. They are the ones who store all the information on behalf of humanity. Now, where there is a tree, there is also a seed. And that then brings me on to my next book. So the word Saturn gives us Saturn. You just separate it up. Sat is your essence, which is the seed. Everything begins as a seed. And the urn is a container. So it is the container of the seed. That is Saturn. Now Saturn rules bones and also blue stones. It'll become relevant when I speak about Stonehenge in a moment. We sometimes call Saturn the father, but the word father means mouth of the ether. It's Om, as in Omega. Saturn also rules over teeth, because that is bone. The word Sinai, as in the desert that Moses allegedly traveled, the word Sinai means teeth, which is a kitchen of truth, the knowledge keepers on earth. Now, the symbol of Saturn is known as the Kaparu, which means fire in the head. So the rings of Saturn represent its halo, its illuminated halo. So wisdom then is always given mouth to ear, the ear of corn. They whisper the secret knowledge. And Saturn teaches us the importance of learning by listening, the earrings. Saturn also culture. We get the seed, we get the acorn, oak corn. So again, it all relates to the seed, to the tree, to Saturn. Bounce back. Neon, Hominon, Pads, Abba. P-A, which is Baphomet in reverse. Baphomet is the hippocampus, the place of learning in the skull. It is the father of the temple. Now, when we see people giving the handhorns are really Haman's horns, which is the hippocampus, the place of learning, and the inner mysticism of self. And this is the Egyptian Amun-Ra. So the word acorn gives the word ak or ok. An ok is an open eye and a closed eye. So in other words, the ability to see. Saturn is also represented, obviously, by a black cube at Mecca, where the pilgrims travel around the black cube. But the black cube of Mecca is really called the ceremony of riddance. And that riddance is the riddance of ignorance, the ignorance and misunderstanding of the true meanings. So the Elohim, then, are the divine ones on earth, the keepers of knowledge on behalf of humanity, such as your pharaohs of Egypt. Now, in every church that I've ever been to, there is this symbol called the Chiro. It looks like a P with an X. And we are told that that is the symbol of Christ. I will detail how Christ relates to Saturn in a short while, but that is not a symbol of Christ. It is a symbol of the Christified ones, the knowledge keepers, the chosen ones. So there are a lot of things that are being misunderstood. I'm now going to briefly get to Stonehenge. The likes of Stonehenge, the likes of the Great Pyramid, the likes of all of these ancient stone monuments are really forks that cut through dimensions. But Stonehenge is really Saturn on Earth. And again, we have Saturn and agriculture. Of our true essence, which grows and develops with divine timing. Again, we have the word time. Now, to know this knowledge, you are known as the knowers of the field. For those whom mysteries are confided, they are known as the cultivators of the field. Everything relates to agriculture, seed, the tree, and corn. So, in terms of Stonehenge and the Lunar, the darkness of our Saturnine condition is transmuted into brightness and shimmering nature of silver. That is why the moon is important at Stonehenge. When we look at why do we have the heel stone is the root chakra, which is represented by Saturn. When you get to the Presley blue stones, the horseshoe at the center, as I said previously, blue stones are ruled by Saturn. So what you have really is known as the Saturn's return transit. Now, in between Saturn's return, you have what is known as the initiation into the elders, which it means Saturn's chosen ones. So just before the internet blows out, when you look at the Great Pyramid, the word Christ is actually encrypted within the height of the Great Pyramid. Christ, the word Christ means seed. So we're going back again to seed. Now, when we break bread, we are spreading the seed of knowledge. So Saturn is connected to Christ because we have Saturn, which is Omega, and we have Christ, which is Alpha and Omega. Now, the word Om is the 24th letter of the Greek alphabet, which is 8 plus 8 plus 8. Triple 8 is Christ in Greek. Now, the 24th letter gives us 2 times 4, which is 8. Saturn rules the number 8. So Mary Magdalene is also related, because we have the Vesica Pisces, which gives us the Christian fish. The word fish means the mouth of man. The mouth relates to Om. So we have Saturn and Christ connected. This is also connected to the left and the right eye of Horus of Egypt, which are really grain measurements. The eye fractions of the left and right eye are grain fractions. And the seed contains the energy of the sun and the energy of the moon as it is growing. So we even have an Egyptian connection. So just to conclude early, because of the bad connection, the disciplined sower or the disciple knows his field, his body, his knowledge. And to everything, there is a season, including our own consciousness. This is known as the seed and the field. The seed, after it is placed in the soil, is reborn after putrefaction in the sepulchre, the tomb. This is the story of Christ, because the word Christ means seed. Now, even when we have all of the Masonic obelisks and Egyptian obelisks all around the world, the obelisk means the power of the seed. It is a phallus, but if you say the word penis backwards, it's sinep, which means the mustard seed. Now, in the Bible, the mustard seed relates to the kingdom of heaven, where the kingdom starts small and then grows, which is obviously symbolic in alchemical sexuality as the erection. So just to conclude, Saturn relates to the container of the seed, to agriculture, to the cycles of time in which we become. The Elohim are waters of the leaf. They are the knowledge keepers of earth, the likes of the pharaohs, the likes of the people who store this secret knowledge on behalf of humanity, maintaining that thread between man and the divine. So that is Saturn, that is the Elohim. The Bible is an initiate's manuscript. It is not historical fact. Sorry, I've had to cut this 20 minutes short, but I've just tried to rush through it before the connection breaks again. But thank you very much in Saturnine tradition. Thank you very much for listening. And if there are any questions, I will try and answer them tonight.
Thank you, Michael. And your connection seems to be good right now, this moment here. And we'll, can you can hear me okay?
Yes, Bill. Perfect. All right.
So if anybody has any questions as we're closing out for the day, go ahead and put it in here. And I love what you shared as well, because that seems to be a theme of today as well, is that it's not all negative, and to not look at it as that. And even the negativity kind of is the challenge for us to figure out a greater growth. And maybe in this world of amnesia, where we don't remember that connection all the time, going through what we consider negative was just a catalyst for revolution. Would you agree?
Well, resistance is how we grow. You know, if I was to go to the gym and lift all of these weights, those weights are resistance for my muscles to grow. So when you have this so-called negative connotation and you have a resistance, then you have something in which to grow. It's like the King Arthur story when you move the sword out of the stone. You know, Excalibur means Excalibur Libertarius, liberated from the stone. And what that is telling us is that we must overcome inner friction. And that inner friction is the resistance that is given by the so-called negative. But when you understand that duality is not really opposites, it is complementary. And musically, duality could be explained as two sounds of the same note. So it is really two expressions of the same thing. And when you begin to understand that, you then become non-dualistic, and you are in the center, and you are not committed to the extreme polarity of the pendulum swing. You are in that stability at the center. And that this all comes from resistance.
I said, I love that. And to look at it in kind of like the practical way on the world right now is a lot of times when we go from one experience and we don't like that, we go to the other extreme, right? That happens politically in so many different ways. And I like to say the truth is almost somewhere in between. So what you're saying is after we're going through that resistance and bouncing back and forth, the evolution is having that stillness within the two.
Yeah. If you look at Newton's cradle, which was obviously used as a science experiment, if you use Newton's cradle, you have the little ball bearings, you get one and it hits the other, and you have this pendulum swing. This pendulum swing represents extreme polarity. You know, you are always in one or the other. If you're in the New Age, you're always in the light. If you're not, you're sometimes in the dark, but you're never at the center of balance. Now, when you are at the center, you have an overall view of all sides of that polarity, but you are not being dragged into the extremes. It is giving you that firm stability and that overall view of the polarity. So you stop at the middle where the pendulum cannot reach.
Right. So Karen is asking, where can people find out more information? Because today, obviously, it was more summarized. Where can people go into depth on this awareness with you?
If they wish to get in touch with me by email or on my website, there's a direct email address for me. If they wish to send me a message with any detailed questions, and I will sit through and I'll go into great detail for them. So yes, that's probably the best way, and I can sit down and I can just go into great detail for them.
Right. And your website again?
It is michael-thiele.com.
Okay, we have one more question here. What is your take on the Emerald Tablets?
The Emerald Tablets, that's a good question. That's a deep question. The Emerald Tablets are a sonic code that has been left by the knowledge keepers of the world. It is the same as hieroglyphs. Hieroglyphs cannot be worked out with language. They cannot be worked out logically. What you have with the Emerald Tablets and what you have with the hieroglyphs is you have sacred knowledge encoded into sound. Now, every individual sound has its own unique shape. So that sound is forming the shapes that we see as hieroglyphs, but it is really encrypting secret knowledge sonically into these shapes. And that is the same as the Emerald Tablets. I found a hidden code in the Emerald Tablets in relation to the numbers 5 to 8. And when I did the mathematics and broke it down into deeper and deeper fractions, there's a message that says those with the eyes to see and the ears to hear will come into this knowledge. So your Emerald Tablets, the same as your hieroglyphs, are sonically coded secret knowledge. And you cannot work it out by logic. You have to work it out by feeling. It is a soul map. It helps you to navigate through the other realms and dimensions of existence. When you walk into temples, you only get what you are. And what I mean by that is they are a mirror of you. So when you, whatever condition you are in, when you enter the temple, that is what will resonate back to you. And if you wish to change the reflection, you have to change what is being reflected, which is you. So when you go into the temples, you need to be silent, because that's where divinity is, not in the noise of the world. You have to be silent, you have to listen, and you have to pick up on this sonic information. So in brief, your Emerald Tablets are a soul map, and they are sonically encrypted knowledges.
Beautifully said, brother, and I love what you just shared about if you want to change the reflection, you need to change what's being reflected, and that's you. That's yes. Amazing.
There's no point trying to smash a window because you want to change how your face looks, you know, or smash a mirror because you don't like what's looking back. You have to change what's being reflected because the universe is a mirror, you know. The karma, cause and effect, it is really teaching you to reflect, because what you reflect is what's coming back. So the universe is a mirror. You know, the temples that you enter are a mirror of you. So if you want to change what you see, you have to change what's being projected, and that is you.
Beautiful, brother. Michael, thank you so much for being here and contributing your insight. Appreciate you so much. And everybody, to learn more about Michael, michael-feely.com. And Michael, let's have you back again sometime soon so we can go deeper as well.
Anytime. Anytime, any subject.
Appreciate you, brother. Take care.
Thank you. You take care.
Thank you for tuning in to Portal to Ascension Radio. Be sure to check out all the amazing gatherings we have listed on portaltoascension.org that are designed to assist in a collective consciousness shift. Each one of you that signs up gets access to hours of free content. You may also explore our YouTube channel and Instagram at Portal to Ascension. We are the ones that we have been waiting for. And this is the moment for us to realize the potential we all have and begin to create harmony on planet Earth.